without any excuse. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, "My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin." Brothers and sisters, what is Christianity? Coming to church, important. Coming to our Bible studies, important. Giving of our means, important. And we can add a number of things to that list. But let me suggest to you this morning, as the Apostle John wrote, without apology, "I write these things to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Brothers and sisters, this is Christianity. That you may not sin. That is the heart of our calling. That is the heart of when we are baptized. The old body dies symbolically in the water, and it is raised to newness of life. And together with God's Holy Spirit, together with his power, together with his providence, together with everything that he is, we can make that calling our calling. And that again is what true Christianity is all about. And Freddie, you mentioned it this morning, the story of Noah. Did Noah go where the boat was going? He didn't know. Did Noah go how long the boat would be going? He didn't know. But ultimately, on the mountains of Ararat, he found its resting place. And when you look at the story of Abraham, in the Bible, you see Abraham being exemplified as an example of faith. And yes, God called him. And as the story tells us, or does not tell us, he never said, "God, but can you first tell me where I'm going? Can you first tell me what will be happening? Can you first tell me how long the trip will be? Will you first tell me where I'm exactly going?" He went by faith. And we know what happened, right? Eventually, he came to what is later known as the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. He dwelt in tents. Children were born. Jacob was born. Sons were born and daughters were born to Jacob. We know the story. They went into Egypt. And ultimately, they came back when the time was exactly right. And they found their land flowing with milk and honey. And brothers and sisters, I would like to suggest, when we truly make it an effort that we do not sin, we will find our land flowing with milk and with honey. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read actually a very sad story, but also a very comforting story. What is the sad story here? The sad story here is that in verse 1 through 5, "Moreover, brethren, I want you not to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. What a sad story. God gave it all. God gave his best. They were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink. And that rock that followed them was even the Christ. The Christ was with them. But then look at these words. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. They did not pursue their true calling. God gave it all. God gave his best. God gave everything. But still, with most of them, their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. What a sad story. And brothers and sisters, that brings us back again to what is our true calling in Christianity? That we will not sin. And that brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. That is what we will be talking about this morning in a little bit more detail. It says, therefore, let him who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so, yes, we talk about Abraham. What kind of challenges did he have? What kind of temptations did he see in his life? But we know he allowed God to be the leader. And ultimately, his descendants entered the promised land. We know the story of Noah with the ark. It ended in the exact right place. We know the story of Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego. It ended well. And in all these things we see, most of all, God is always able to make a way. And ultimately, of course, we see it on the cross. Hans, you talked about it in a very beautiful way. He took all the blame. He took all the sin. He took all the problems out of the way. Our God is able. Now, when we think about this passage, we want to think about it in four ways. The first one is, no one is immune to temptations. No one is immune to the trials of life. No one is immune to what we call the difficult and the hard paths of life. Israel of old, we look at them and they had their trials. We look at them being in Egypt. They were pressed and they were pressed. And they were pressed even more to the point that the Pharaoh said, you get your own straw. They had their trials. But then, of course, at the same time, they saw God's power and greatness when we look at the 10 plagues. The 10 plagues ultimately showed that God had power over life and over death. And that's the important thing for us, brothers and sisters, to understand that we will also have those trials. And for us to have the temptations, for us to have the difficulties. When we talk about this life, most of us that are in here probably has that red piece or that pink piece of paper. And it says, you are allowed to drive a car. And how beautiful is that? But you know, that piece of paper, you don't just get it somewhere for 5 euros or 10 euros. You have to practice. So, when you're 17, 18, I believe, you can go for your license. You practice. You see the dangers. You see the pitfalls. You see the signs. You learn about all the signs. It helps you to become a good driver. And really, that is what this life is also all about for us. When we are young, we might have our little battles. When we are young, we have our little challenges. When we are young, we have to learn to listen, to obey. When we are young, we are to learn to drive a little bike. When we are young, we have to go to school and learn all the different things of life. And all these things, when they are taken in the right way, are positive. When they are taken in the right way, they are good. They learn us something. That is why it is important for parents to teach your little children how young they are. At age 1, they got some things to learn. At ages 2, they have some things to learn. At ages 3, 4, 5, and on, they have some things to learn. And as a perfect father and mother, you want your little child, when they grow up, to become successful in whatever they do. And what you're doing at age 2 shows at age 20 and 30 and 40 and 50. And so in Christianity, what we are going through is a learning process. No one is immune to the hardships and the difficulties and the trials of life. But what does Paul say? When we think about those temptations and those trials, he basically said, you are not undergoing any kind of unusual temptations or trials. Look at verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to men. Only those things that are common to men. And yes, that's why the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, and of course the book of Hebrews is written especially to Christians that were drifting. It is written to Christians that were not plainly seeing their confession they once made that Jesus Christ was the only way and the only light and the only truth. They had forgotten that. But so, in chapter 11, what does the writer do? He goes back to Abraham and says, these were his trials and temptations and hardships and difficulties. Look at Moses, the writer says. So he holds us that book in front of us that he calls a great cloud of witnesses. And he basically says to them, nothing happens to you that has not happened before. And they are sitting on the side and they say, you can do it. We did it. We looked up to God by faith. We look up to God by prayer, and we made it, and we did it. And of course, we know that Abraham was not without fault. We know that others were not without fault. We know that even our great champions, that Ezekiel calls Noah, Job, and Daniel, these three are named in the book of Ezekiel a number of times to show what kind of righteousness God demands from his people. And when we look at Job, when we look at Noah, when we look at Daniel, and we look at their life stories, it helps us to understand the things that are happening to us are things that has happened before. People had their questions. People had their sleepless nights. We look at Daniel. Wow. The lions. And they were known to be ferocious. They were known to be the killers of the first kind. They were known to be the killers of the first degree. But what did Daniel and his friends say? Even if God does not rescue us, we are not afraid. And so when we think about the concept that no temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, he helps us to understand other ones have been there before you. Other ones have been in the place where you are right now. That is why the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, all these things that are written before time are written for our learning, for our admonition. These are examples to us when it comes to the tough parts of life. That brings us to number three. Paul says, we are not being tempted beyond what you are able to bear. So he says again, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to men, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Where is our strength? It's not in ourselves. It's in God. Look at what it says. God is faithful. Brothers and sisters, so many times we come to that dilemma and we say, God, I just don't know what to do here. Which way should I go? So many times we might say, God, this is too hard. This is too tough. But again, we look at Abraham. We look at Noah. And we look at Daniel. And we look at Job. Was anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. There was a man that faced difficulties in life. He lost two of his little children. Somebody asked him, how are you? And he says, but God is faithful. He focused himself on God. He focused himself on the one that is faithful and the one that has all power and the one that has all wisdom, and the one that has all consolation, and the one that has all. But God is faithful. Brothers and sisters, one of the first things that we should know is you are never alone. You are never alone. And of course, we say these words by faith. It is faith that makes us say, God is with me. It is faith that says, I can go to a foreign country without knowing where I am going. Faith says, I can enter that ark without knowing what will happen to the ark. Faith says, I can move into the darkness because God is with me. And that's one of the hearts, of course, of Psalms chapter 23, most loved by so many people. And of course, with a reason. It is loved by many because it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so, in our relationship with God, it is God that gives the directive. It is God that gives the perspective in our lives. And what a joy. We started out by saying that 1 Corinthians chapter 10 has a very sad story. God gave it all, but they did not use it. They used their own flesh. They used their own desires. They used their own thoughts. They used their own thinking. And that is where the battle comes in for us today, brothers and sisters. What are we using when the battle gets hard? What are we using when the battle gets tough? What are we using when there are sleepless nights? Are we going to use our own flesh, our own wisdom, our own desires? Or can we then say, my God, not my will, but your will be done? Can we say that? That is Christianity. That is the heart of Christianity. That is the design of what Christ came to live. And so in the last part, it says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Brothers and sisters, this is our story. This is our song. Can I encourage you to make that your song? Tomorrow morning, we might listen to something on the radio. We might be inspired. We might be inspired to sing along. We might be inspired to sing along to the degree that we can sing all of the words. But what about this story? Can we make that our song? With the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That is Christianity. That is what God wants us to be. That is what God has designed for us. And so again, we refer to Romans 15, verse 4. All these things were written for our learning. That is why it is so important to know the story of Abraham and to meditate it, not just once, not just twice, not just three times, but let me just use the number 7. And you know what I mean. Let us make that the story of our heart 7 times. The story of Job. Let us make it the story of our hearts. Not once, but seven times. Let us look at the story of Daniel and make it the story of our heart and make it the story of our lips. Not just once, but seven times. Let us not just read it, but let us meditate upon it to the point that we cannot think of anything else. And that will be our release. That will be our release in life. Because you know what, brothers and sisters? Whatever time you live, temptations will come, trials will come, hardship will come, difficulties will come. That is the story of the existence of man. But thanks to God, it doesn't end there. God says, I can make a way. Amen. And isn't that beautiful? Is that not the story of our hearts? Is that not the song of our hearts? God can make a way. There are songs that we sing that sing about that concept. But that should become the song of our hearts. And that is where the battle comes in. That is where the difficulty comes in. Because too many times we are too focused on ourselves. And I say that with a lot of respect. But too many times we are focused on ourselves. We are focused on what we have not or what we have. We are focused on the things of life. But God says, I can take care of that. Not just a little bit. I can take care of that completely. But the difficult part of it for us, of course, is we do not know where the end is. And then I would like to say again, God gave us the stories of the Old Covenant. God gave us a photo album of our heritage. God gave us a photo album to walk through and to say, aha, you made a way. Aha, you made a way. Aha, you made a way. In the deepest of pain, in the deepest of trial, in the deepest of temptation, in the deepest of decision making. So, brothers and sisters, as we close, what is the design of Christianity? That we may not sin. Peter says, be holy as I am holy. There are other places where the same concept is being said. But that is the heart of our calling. That is the heart of Christianity. And brothers, secondly, God can and will make a way. We just have to make it the story of our heart. We just have to make it the story of our thinking. That's why Romans chapter 12 says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Because your mind decides which way you are going. Amen.